This morning we're going to look at a few scriptures, and then we'll hopefully tie it all in together with a thought. I'd like to first turn to John chapter 5, read the first 15 verses. I'm going to read about three scriptures right off the bat here to get to my thought. John chapter 5, starting in the first verse. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind halt, withered, and waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Then Jesus therefore said unto him that was cured, It is a Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which had said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in the place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. This man had laid there, I don't know how many years, 38 years, or he'd been paralyzed, I'm calling it paralyzed, for 38 years. He laid by the pool of Bethesda, waiting for that opportunity to get into the water. And the only way he was going to get in the water was for somebody to pick him up and take him down into the water, unless he could roll down into one off of one of the five porches. Okay, that's not going to happen. He laid there every day, or every time that angel would appear and would trouble the water, he would think, oh, could this be the day? But nobody was there to pick him up and take him down and put him in the water. He was helpless. He was hopeless. Christ came by and saw him. Did he say anything to Christ? There's no indication he looked at God, Christ, Jesus, and said, Hey, help me out here. Jesus instigated the conversation. Jesus saw him laying there and knew he was troubled. And Jesus took action. I've heard about, and I haven't looked into it yet, but I've heard some story when I listen to some of the radio stations I listen to, talk about the words of Christ in red. And someday I'd like to do a study of the words of Christ in red. Because if you think about it, seven words is all Christ really had to say, and this man was healed. He said, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. This man had laid there for maybe 30-some years, waiting to get in the water. And seven words freed him from his infirmity. Seven words of Christ had freed him from his infirmity. But boy, it's scary towards the end of that scripture, isn't it? When Christ meets up with him again and says, You are made whole. Your sins are forgiven. But don't go back, because it'll be worse for you after that. Boy, I tell you, you know, if my mom whooped me several times when I was younger, and boy, nothing would aggravate her more than for me to grin and laugh while I was getting whooped, because that just made it worse the next time. Because eventually Dad was going to get the call to do the whooping. And Dad could whoop up pretty good. I don't know if whoop's even a word anymore, but Dad could whoop up pretty good. But for Christ to look at him and say, Don't go back, or it'll be worse for you after that. But I'm not looking at that part of the story. I'm looking at the part of the story where Christ saw this man had a need, and he did something. Now let's turn to John chapter 6, starting in the first verse. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because he saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said, this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. Take every one of them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. There was much grass in the place, so the man sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above that which had eaten. Feed 5,000 people and have enough scraps to fill 12 baskets full of food. When we have our June meeting, we try to determine how many people are going to be here to eat, and we try to plan our food accordingly. I don't think we've ever had a June meeting end where we had enough to fill 12 baskets full of food. We have had food left over, and we've donated it, but we've never had that much left over. But yet we know there will be a need when we have our meeting. The people will be coming, and they will need to eat. Well, Christ saw the same need in these people. They were so engrossed, enamored, taken by what they saw happening. Diseased people being healed. Miracles being performed. This is what I call one of the first accounts in the scriptures of roadies. Now, you hear about roadies going to concerts all the time. All they do is they follow these concert groups around. They want to see everything happens in these concerts. So they're going to go everywhere. No doubt, we had several concerts in Des Moines, and I can guarantee you there are some people that have been at every concert that group put on. They don't know what they're doing, but they're driving to every place these people are having concerts because they want to be part of that entourage. They want to be, I was at every concert they had. Big deal. They didn't know you were there, but you were there. Well, these people were following Christ because they saw something special happening. They forgot about everything. They didn't even think to bring food. Well, Christ looked out and he saw they needed food. He knew what he was going to do, it says. He knew how he was going to feed them. But he saw they had a need. He had one thing towards these people. And we're going to find out what that was here in a second. One more. Luke chapter 10, starting in the 30th verse. Luke chapter 10, starting in the 30th verse. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him, Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. A man's traveling, and this man gets brutally beaten and robbed and left for dead on the side of the road. 3 men walked up to this gentleman in his condition. 2 of them weren't going to be bothered by him. It's not worth my effort. He's not worth it. If he hadn't been there, he wouldn't have got beat up, maybe they thought. Well, they thought they're there too. They could have got beat up just like he got beat up. But they weren't to be bothered by him. They went along their merry way. They had other things to do. The 3rd man saw a need and took care of it. What was evident in all 3 of these stories? It's brought out in the 33rd verse. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Christ had compassion on the first 2 instances we brought up of him. This man had compassion on this man that fell among the thieves. They all had compassion. That's why we're here this morning, because Christ and God had compassion on us. They saw a need that we did not see, and they took care of it. In the first story, Christ saw a need of a man. All he needed to do was touch the water, and he'd have been healed. Well, Christ was the living water that could heal this man. And Christ saw and had compassion on him. Christ could have walked right by him and not done it. Christ saw a need and had compassion on this man, and he paid for his freedom. When Christ saw the multitude, as he's on the mountain, he looks down and he sees them. He had compassion on them. They're hungry. They need to eat. We can't send them off half-cocked with no food in their system. They'll start fighting each other. If one of them sees us, I'd hate to thought of if they'd have seen this little kid with his loaves and barley. That'd have been a mass riot going on, because they'd all been trying to get it. Well, Christ talked and had compassion. He took that little bit of food, and he fed 5,000 people. I can guarantee if we set up the June meeting here, we'll find a way to have compassion on everybody that shows up. We've made trips to Prairie City and to Des Moines to get extra food because we have compassion on those people. But I can guarantee if we're getting towards the end of Sunday afternoon meal and two buses full of people pull up, there are going to be some excited women trying to figure out, how are we going to make this work? But they will make it work, okay? And that's the same way Christ was. He had compassion on these people. And in the third example, the two men went by and said, "It ain't worth my effort. He's not worth it." The third man had compassion on him. And it was compassion enough, he just didn't say, "Okay, I'll call and get the authorities to come out here and take care of you." He took care of him. He knew he had a need, and he even took him to the inn in order to be taken care of. Compassion for someone else. Compassion in Vines says to have pity, a feeling of distress for the ills of others, to be moved, to be touched with others' needs, to be drawn to action. To see a need and to take action. Christ saw the need and he took action. The third man in the story of the Good Samaritan saw the need and he took action. Not looking for anything in repayment. And he took action. I don't think about this very much because I've never been stranded by the side of the road. But boy, compassion probably really comes into play when you're stranded by the side of the road. Closest I can think of to would be is a year and a half, 2 years ago, we were coming back from somebody's wedding in Indiana. Got caught in the awfulest blizzard I've ever been in. I think my mother-in-law was ready to throw things at me because I kept driving. But in a 20-mile stretch of highway, we went from good roads, 10 miles in, it was, okay, what am I doing out here? 18 miles in, it's, okay, I'm not going any farther than the next town I see. And then we got to the next town. Now, the innkeeper didn't have compassion on us. They still charged us $75 for each room, or higher. My wife says higher, but we found a place to stay. But had we been stuck on the side of the road, there would have been people that came out and gave us aid, would have had compassion on us. They didn't know us, wouldn't have known us from Adam, but that's their position in life, is to have compassion on other people. They would have risked themselves to come out and see us. And if you don't believe that, look on the side of the road after a big snowstorm and look at the number of yellow cars in the ditch or upside down or turned over. Well, I guess upside down, turned over is the same thing, with yellow tape on them. That's because somebody is out there showing compassion towards these people. I ain't getting out of my house and going looking for them. I ain't got that kind of compassion. But I can have compassion for people in other ways. And that's what Christ is telling. They're telling us in the scriptures here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Lest we doubt that Christ has compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Just a little snippet right here. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. The most powerful man on earth gave up the most powerful job on earth, in heaven I mean, to come down to earth. But yet he was still compassionate towards those that had need. He was compassionate. He felt their pain. I'm pretty sure when I go in Friday morning, I'm going to have a lot of compassionate people working with me, nurses, doctors. But they don't feel my pain, but they know I'm going to be feeling pain. So they're not going to walk in and say, okay, man up, dude. This is just something. We do this all the time. You know, I don't want to hear you whining about it. No, they're going to serve. They're going to take care. Now, my family might say, man up, dude. I don't want to hear you whining about it. But they're not going to do that. They are compassionate towards me because they know I will have a need. I will be suffering. And that's what Christ saw. And I think that's what we need to remember. Christ is always looking at us with compassion, and he knows we have a need, and he's willing to take care of that need. Matthew chapter 14:14 is another example. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. I don't have time to heal all these sick people. I got a job to do down here. His job was to heal the sick. His job was to have compassion on other people. His job is what he did. He had compassion on those around him. Christ showed us many times how to have compassion on others. First, we have to notice them. We have to notice they're around us. We have to notice they have a need. Christ noticed the man laying by the pool, and he noticed he had a need, and he brought that need to light. Okay, I'm sure there were 100 people sitting there every day knew this man had a need, but nobody was willing to pick him up and carry him down to the water and put him in because they had their own needs. They might have had a withered hand, okay, but they were sitting there ready to get down in the water. Can't worry about this guy. He's going to take up too much of my time. Somebody else will get in there ahead of me. Well, they didn't see the need that he had. And Christ shows us how that we need to make an attempt to meet that need. Christ made the attempt to meet the need of that man. I hate the word made. I had to say made an attempt. He took care of that man's need. Okay, the Good Samaritan, the man made an attempt to take care of what the man needed that was caught by the thieves. He made the attempt because he saw he had a need. Matthew chapter 7, starting in the 9th verse. Well, let's start in 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven, which is good, give good things to him that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would do that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. I was keying on verses 9 towards the end there. What man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? We're to have compassion on those we supply things to. Bruce, we're going to go to Red Rock today and we're going to eat rocks off the side of the river, okay? Bandanas just doesn't sound good enough to me today. I think you need to go eat some rocks once in a while. Well, that's not what Bruce is looking for. Bruce is looking for bandanas barbecue today for lunch. So I know what he is, and I'll have compassion on him because I don't want him to lay by the side of the road dying of hunger because I made him eat rocks. Although there are fish down here he could get to if he needed to. But there is compassion needs to be shown. If we know what somebody needs, we need to supply that need to them in the proper way. That's what I was thinking about during class this morning. You know, I'm not much for words. Obviously, I'm up here speaking this morning. But I'm not much for words when it comes to being around other people. I have people ride with me in my van. And I say, you're riding with the most boring person in the world. Because I may ride from here to Fort Dodge and I say 3 words to them the whole time. And they don't say anything back. Well, why would they say anything if I don't say anything to them? But yet, there are people here that will say things that need to be said. But to me, like I said in class, I think I can sit with somebody and maybe give them more support than if I open my mouth and start blabbering things to them, because I may say things they don't really need to hear. But there are people here that may do better just to say things that they need to hear. And that's what he's telling us here. Because we know how to give good gifts to people that need them. And so we need to have compassion on them. He even gives us warnings about being compassionate towards the young ones. Mark chapter 10, 13 through 16. Mark 10, 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him, and that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." They rebuked people for bringing little children to Christ. Why are you bothering him? He has bigger fish to fry. He has us adults to worry about. Why are you bringing little kids to him? Well, Christ said these little kids are just as important to him as the older ones are. Because that's where the future is in these little kids. We need to bring them up in the nurture and admiration of the Lord so they will have. So we need to have compassion on them. Nothing kills me more than to say what I don't think is the wrong thing to Blake or to Allison. Next thing I know, they're laying on their knees with their head in the floor. Did I not have compassion on them? No, I think I had compassion on them. I just didn't say what they wanted to hear. Okay, so I can crush these little kids. Well, I can crush little kids. I can crush adults the same way. I cannot have compassion on them. So we need to train ourselves, not just for the adults, but for the little kids too. Because that's where the future is. And you know what? There are times when I'm that little kid crawling around on the floor, and some older person needs to be nice to me, maybe. Okay, Doug, you really need to stand up. You know, you should be older than that. Okay, you know, be a little more of an adult. Okay, but they have compassion on me. They don't step on me. Hopefully, they don't step on me and make me feel bad. But I could do the same thing to the little children. So we need to have compassion on them. Whenever Christ performed a miracle, did he ever ask for anything from the people? I can't think of anything he ever asked from the people. Okay, man, I'm gonna help you take up your bed and walk, but why don't you come back and bring me something later? You know, I'm a little thirsty. Bring me a drink of water. Or, you know, my shoes are wearing out. Bring me some shoes. No, he had compassion on them. He didn't ask for anything in return, except he warned that one gentleman, "Don't let me down. Don't let me down, or you're going to be in trouble." The Good Samaritan, did he ask for anything in return? There's no indication he came back after that man was healed and said, "You know, let's see, I spent 45 minutes here. I spent an hour here. I spent 3 pence on you at the hotel. I'll expect some here's my address. Mail me the check for services rendered." Christ never asked for anything in return for the miracles he did, except us to return our love to him. Us to have enough compassion on him to return our love to him. So we can have compassion by returning favors we have been blessed with. I think we can have compassion by returning favors we've been blessed with. Somebody offers me something, I'm in need, accept it. But yet remember, that person may be in need someday. That person may need our compassion. You know, I can do a lot of repairs on things in houses, as long as they're not my house. My house kind of gets ignored a lot of the times. I can do a lot of repairs. I can have people call me. My water heater isn't working. Can you come look at it? My furnace isn't working. Can you come look at it? I may grumble under my breath because I'm tired. I just got home after a long day. Don't think I'm grumbling at all of you when you do it, by the way. But I could grumble and I could think, I'm not going to do it. But I have compassion enough to go do it, to take care of their need, because someday I might have a need. I'm going to be laying around for the next 3 months, and I'm going to be at home. I'm not sure I'm going to want to cook every meal every night, so some of you want to bring meals over, that's fine. My wife might like it, but, you know, I don't know. I'll do the best I can. I don't know if you can make meatloaf with one hand. I'll try. But we need to have compassion. But you know what? When I show up at somebody's house to fix something, my first thought isn't, okay, what am I going to get out of this deal? Okay, what's it going to cost them? If I do that, I might as well just turn around and go home because I'm not doing it for the right reason. Now, I do work for Chocolate Pie, though. I'll just put that out there right now. If you ever call me, I'll work for Chocolate Pie. Doesn't need to be paid right then. You can show up later with it. I'll work for Chocolate Pie. French silk, preferably, but that's kind of expensive. I won't make you go out on the line and make French silk for me, get French silk for me, but I work cheap. But never, ever did I see Christ demanding anything of anybody for a miracle he performed for them, except to return the love back to him by staying faithful to him. So don't take advantage of other people when you're having compassion on them. Matthew chapter 18, starting the 21st verse. I think we have some examples of this in the scriptures too. Matthew chapter 18, starting the 21st verse. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I, my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. What was missing on the part of the servant? Compassion. This man had just been forgiven a debt that was going to cost him everything. Everything he had. And he had every right to lose what he had. But he begged forgiveness. He begged to have time to pay the debt back. And it was all forgiven. It was all washed away because the Lord had compassion on him. I don't think I'm going to get a call from Ford Credit tomorrow saying, Hey, by the way, Doug, then next 12 payments on your flex, forget it. Yeah, we're gonna forget about them. Here's your title. It ain't going to happen. I can call and I can beg and plead and scream and holler. They might knock one payment off, but they ain't going to knock the whole thing off. Okay? They're not going to have compassion. This man had compassion on him enough to forgive his debt. But what happened is he turned around and forgot about that compassion. Well, I got no problem. I don't have to pay my debt. But yet I could use an extra $100. And I know who owes me that $100. So I'm going to go get it from him. And he wasn't very nice about it. He took him by the throat and was, give me him $100. And that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And we know that he ended up paying dearly for it at the end because his master found out what he had done. He forgot compassion. Compassion was given to him, but he forgot to return that compassion towards others. Luke chapter 15, starting the 11th verse. Luke chapter 15, starting the 11th verse, very familiar story to us. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have enough bread and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring forth hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive, and was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. What was that word we saw in there? His father had compassion on him. Did his father need to have compassion on him? Have a right? Was it necessary for his father to have compassion on him? Not necessarily. He said, Dad, I want everything you owe me right now, and I want to get out of here. Okay. Dad said, Fine. You're out of here. Give him his money. Go do what you want to do with it. I could have said to my dad, would have got me down about the corner of 34th and Georgetown, about all I would have gotten out of him. So I wouldn't have got very far. But this father gave him everything he owed him, half the inheritance, and this man did what he wanted with it. But you know what? When he got out there and in the world and he was living it up, something was missing. The compassion that I'm sure he knew was waiting for him back at home. He took that compassion for granted when he was there because it was just something he probably saw every day. Dad provided for him. Dad took care of him. Dad gave him everything he needed. But he didn't realize that until he was no longer there in the grasp of that compassion. I mean, it might be compassionate to throw husks out to somebody that's sitting in your field. I don't think I've ever had my kids sitting out in a yard and, you know, this is all we got to eat here, you guys, and start throwing corn husks at them. No, I don't think I've ever done that. But that's basically what this man was eating, was the stuff the swine would eat, which probably wasn't very good. And he came to himself and he thought, I've got a better thing back there. I just need to go back there. But he realized he probably wasn't going to walk into the same situation he left, because he had pretty much told his dad, I'm done with you. I want to go live, be about my merry way. So I'm sure he was surprised as thunder when his dad came out and laid on his neck and kissed him, because his father had compassion on him. Do you think on the day, I don't know how many days this man was gone, do you think there's ever one day that that father didn't say a prayer for his son? I don't want to put words in the Bible, but I think his dad prayed every day for that son. Help him come home. Bring my son back home. Help him see the error of his ways. And I get that impression because had he not done that, he wouldn't have been standing there looking down the road wondering what was going on, if his son was coming. Every day I picture that man going out to the road and looking down the road and, do I see him coming? You know, what's that? What's that spot in the dark distance? Is that my son? And one day it was his son coming back. And he had two choices to make at that point in time. Okay, get on out there and live with the servants, or have compassion on him. And we know he had compassion on him. We need to be the same way. There are times I've erred and I've faltered, and I need people to have compassion on me. Okay, because if you don't have compassion on me, I'm not going to feel very welcome. But I think that's where the church of Christ, the church helps, because we have a whole body of people here that are willing to have compassion. We might get our feelings hurt, but yeah, I think we still have compassion. But there has to be a both direction thing. I need to come back and want that compassion. Had that boy never come home, his dad would have had compassion until he died. But he would have wondered what happened to his son. I don't want Christ to think that about me. I want to have compassion at all times. We need to wait on them if we have somebody faltering. We need to wait on them. It may not be right away. They may need to fall a little ways before they see it. We need to let them go, possibly. We need to keep praying for them. And when they return, we have to have compassion on them. And we have to have compassion in many different ways. No indication, you know, this father could have said, okay, son, you're back. Go to your room. Think about what you did. Okay, son, you're back. We'll talk about it later. Nope, this father right then and there said, we're going to have a party because my son was dead and now he's alive again. Whenever I falter, I fall away, I come back, I think we should have a party. In our heads, among us, somebody came back. We should have a party because I think the angels in heaven rejoice when that happens. Just as I think, I don't want to, I hope I'm not blaspheming, I don't want to get in trouble here, but I think God has a sense of humor. And I think that because if you look at me, God's got to have a sense of humor. Because I just do stupid things. And you wonder sometimes if God's up there looking down at me thinking, Well, there he did it again. Yeah, he did it last week. He's doing it again. You know, he's going to come to senses one of these days. But God never loses that compassion for me, that he's going to come back. And I hope he comes back. And when I do come back, I think there's rejoicing, not only among us, but among God and the angels in heaven when I come back. Now, I hope I'm not taking angels away from other people, but I think I got a whole flock of angels behind me because I'm a full-time job. I'm a full-time angel taker myself sometimes. So hopefully I'm not taking your angels away from you. But if I am, have compassion on me because I may need them, but you may need them too. So let's work together and see what we can do. Sometimes compassion could just be a look, a glance. Okay, sometimes you don't need to say anything to have compassion. Okay, I know I did something wrong. If at work I do something wrong, I'm going to get more than a glance. I'm going to get a good tongue lashing. I'm going to get a lecturing. I'm going to get in a whole lot of trouble. Well, sometimes I don't need the tongue lashing. I don't need the lecturing. Sometimes just the look. You know, as parents, and our kids do things, and I'm probably not as good because my look isn't so pretty. Lisa could probably look at one of the kids and they'll know they're in trouble. I look at them, they better run and hide probably. I don't get the same impression when I look at them maybe. But Lisa can look at them and they're going to get the impression, oops, I did something wrong. I've had that look from my parents in Indiana before when I did some things back 30 years ago. And it's still stuck in my head when I told my father certain things that I'd been doing. The look I got from him was of, and I mean, that has stuck with me ever since. Now, I've done hairball things since then, but nothing that bad because I never want to see that look from my father again. And I think that's the way Christ is with us. In Luke chapter 22, verse 61, the Lord turned and looked on Peter. After Peter had denied Christ three times, all it says is the Lord turned and looked on Peter. The look that Peter saw from Christ had to be devastating because Christ no doubtly looked at him and said, that look was, remember what I told you earlier? It came to pass. That look, I guarantee Peter never forgot that look. And I'll never forget that look. And I need to remember that look. But I need to have a compassion in that look too. Because I think Christ had compassion in that look towards Peter of, you messed up, but it's not the end of the world. It's going to be the end of the world for Christ here in a little bit, but not for Peter. That's why Christ was going through what he went through. You know, when my father looked at me, I thought that was the end of my father and I's being together. And it was for quite a few years until we got back together. And that bothered me, and I never want to go through that again. And I should feel that way about Christ, too. I should think Christ is always looking at me, and what is the look I'm getting? Is it a look of, told you so? Or is it a look of, okay, you messed up, I'm still here for you? That's the look we need to look for in Christ. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That is the ultimate act of compassion. These men were dying. Christ was dying. And Christ still was able to look at him and say, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That same phrase was uttered to Doug when he was hanging on the cross. It was uttered to Charles. It was uttered to James. Everybody, it was uttered to. We weren't there to witness it, but it was uttered. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. But in order to be with him in paradise, we have to become one of his. We have to be buried with him in baptism. We need to crucify the old man, put it on the cross, just like the two men hanging there with Christ. We need to hang ourselves next to him. And I need to realize, as I go about my daily business, that I hope I have enough compassion that I don't make Christ crawl back up on that cross every time I do something. Because I think when I commit a wrong, I falter, I should picture Christ climbing back up on that cross as offering himself for me again. Because that's what I'm doing. I'm crucifying Christ in my body when I throw him away, and I do other things. But the compassion of Christ and God is that we should never falter, we should never be lost. And all we have to do is realize that that compassion is there for us. God sent His Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants nobody to perish. Now, it's a pipe dream because people are going to perish. There's no control over that. I mean, He's not going to have success with everybody, but He's trying to have success with everybody. But I have to have enough compassion in my heart to realize that He took me, lowly old Doug, who isn't worth a plug nickel sometimes, and He's willing to give His life for me. The only way we can do that, though, is become part of His body. To turn off the old man. To crucify the old man. To take the old Doug and to throw it under the bus. To take the old Doug and let Christ make it a new Doug. And that may have to happen every day. That may have to happen every 5 minutes. But the nice thing is, if I have made that first step, and I have accepted Christ's sacrifice of dying on the cross, and I have been baptized into that and raised the new man, I always have that compassion coming back towards me. But I have to take advantage of that compassion first. And we're always given that opportunity at the end of each service as we extend the gospel with the invitation. If you have not accepted Christ, you're always given that opportunity because we don't want anybody to suffer the loss of life, eternal life, because they haven't accepted Christ. And if for some reason you falter and fallen away, we're always given the opportunity to come back and make amends for our wrongs as we stand and sing the closing song.